Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Yard sales were a common weekend activity in our suburban neighborhood. There was something thrilling about hunting for treasures among other people's discarded belongings. That Saturday, the weather was perfect, and my friend Claire and I decided to spend the morning hopping from sale to sale. The sun was bright, and the air was filled with the sounds of friendly chatter and laughter. We had already found a few interesting items when we stumbled upon a yard sale at the end of a quiet cul-de-sac. An elderly couple was hosting it, and their tables were filled with an eclectic mix of antiques, knickknacks, and old electronics. Claire was immediately drawn to a box of vintage cameras and camcorders. "Look at this," she said, pulling out an old camcorder. "This thing must be from the early 90s. The camcorder was slightly dusty but seemed to be in good condition. The elderly man noticed our interest and smiled. "That old thing still works, you know. Comes with a tape inside, too." Curious, we decided to buy it. It was only $5, and we thought it would be fun to see what was on the tape. We brought the camcorder back to Claire's house and plugged it in. The tape inside started playing, showing footage of what seemed to be a family gathering. At first, it was just mundane scenes, people laughing, talking, and enjoying a barbecue in a backyard. But then, the footage shifted. The camera was now positioned inside a bedroom, half hidden behind some books on a shelf. "That's weird," Claire said, her brow furrowing. "Why would someone film this?" The bedroom was empty, but the camera continued recording. Occasionally, people would walk in and out of the room, unaware they were being watched. The footage was shaky, as if the camera had been moved several times, always finding a new hiding spot. As we watched, a sense of unease settled over us. The camera's perspective changed again, this time focusing on a bed where a young woman was sleeping. The recording continued for hours, capturing her every movement. We both felt like intruders, watching something we shouldn't be seeing. "This is creepy," Claire said, her voice trembling. "We should stop watching." But I couldn't look away. There was something compelling and horrifying about the footage. The next scene showed the camera being moved again, this time to a different room. It was dark, and the only light came from the hallway. A shadow moved across the room, and then the camera focused on a closet door. The closet door creaked open, and a figure stepped out. It was a man, his face obscured by a hood. He stood there for a moment, staring directly at the camera, before slowly approaching it. My heart raced as he reached out and covered the lens with his hand, ending the recording. "We need to call the police," Claire said, her voice urgent. "This isn't right." I agreed, and we immediately contacted the authorities. They arrived quickly, taking the camcorder and the tape as evidence. We were left feeling unsettled, but we hoped that was the end of it. That night, I couldn't sleep. Every creak of the house, every rustle of the wind, made me jump. I kept imagining the hooded figure from the tape lurking in the shadows. Around midnight, I heard a noise outside my window, a soft tapping, like fingernails against glass. I got up, my heart pounding, and peeked through the curtains. My blood ran cold when I saw a shadowy figure standing in my yard, staring up at my window. I stumbled back, grabbing my phone and calling Claire. "He's here," I whispered, my voice shaking. "The man from the tape. He's outside my house." "Stay inside and lock your doors," Claire replied, her voice filled with fear. "I'm coming over." I locked all the doors and windows, my hands trembling. The figure outside moved closer, stepping into the light of the porch. It was the same man from the tape, his hood pulled low over his face. He raised his hand and tapped on the window again, the sound sending chills down my spine. I called the police, my voice barely audible as I explained the situation. They assured me that officers were on their way, but the minutes felt like hours. The man continued to tap on the window, his eyes never leaving mine. When the police finally arrived, the man vanished into the night. They searched the area but found no trace of him. Claire showed up shortly after, her face pale with worry. We stayed at Claire's house that night, too terrified to be alone. The next morning, we found a note slipped under Claire's front door. It was written in a shaky, almost childlike handwriting, "I see you." We were both terrified, unsure of what to do. We decided to leave town for a few days, hoping that the distance would keep us safe. But even as we packed our bags, the fear lingered. We felt like we were being watched, every shadow a potential threat. When we returned home, the police had no new information. The camcorder and tape were still in their possession, and they advised us to be cautious. We installed security cameras around our houses and kept our doors locked at all times. For weeks, we lived in a state of constant fear. Every unexpected noise, every unfamiliar face, made us jump. The sense of safety and normalcy in our lives was shattered. To this day, I don't know who the man was or why he was recording those people. The memory of his hooded figure and the invasive footage haunts me. If you're enjoying it so far, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any new creepy story. Living in a quiet, rural area had its perks, peace, solitude, and a close-knit community where everyone knew each other. Yard sales were common here, a way for neighbors to declutter and socialize. That Saturday, I decided to visit a yard sale at a secluded house on the outskirts of town. It was a beautiful morning, the sun casting a golden glow over the fields and woods surrounding the area. The yard sale was at an old farmhouse, tucked away at the end of a long dirt road. As I pulled up, I saw a few cars already parked and people browsing the tables set up in the front yard. The atmosphere was cheerful, with children running around and neighbors catching up. I parked my car and joined the crowd, greeting a few familiar faces. The farmhouse was charming, with a wraparound porch and a yard filled with flowers. The tables were laden with antiques, vintage furniture, and various knickknacks. I took my time browsing, enjoying the relaxed pace and the sense of community. As I moved to a table near the edge of the yard, something caught my eye. In the woods, just beyond the clearing, stood a man. He was partially hidden by the trees, but I could see his figure clearly enough. He wore a dark hoodie, and his face was obscured by shadows of the trees. He was watching us intently, and a shiver ran down my spine. I looked around to see if anyone else had noticed, but everyone seemed engrossed in their conversations and shopping. I turned back to the woods, but the man was gone. I tried to shake off the feeling of unease and continued browsing, but I couldn't stop thinking about him. As I finished my shopping and headed back to my car, I glanced toward the woods again. The man was there, closer this time, standing just at the edge of the trees. His eyes seemed to follow me, and I felt a growing sense of dread. I quickly got into my car and drove away, my heart pounding. On the drive home, I kept checking my rearview mirror, half expecting to see the man following me. The roads were empty, but the feeling of being watched lingered. When I finally pulled into my driveway, I let out a sigh of relief. But the unease hadn't left me. The next few days were uneventful, but the image of the man in the woods haunted me. I found myself looking over my shoulder more often, especially when I was outside. One evening, I was sitting on my porch, enjoying the quiet, when I heard a rustling in the bushes nearby. I stood up, my heart racing, and scanned the area. At first, I saw nothing, but then I spotted him, the same man, standing at the edge of my property, watching me. My blood ran cold. I grabbed my phone and called my neighbor, Jack, who lived just down the road. "Jack, there's a man outside my house," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. He's been following me since the yard sale. I'm on my way, Jack replied, his voice reassuring. Jack arrived within minutes, carrying a flashlight and a shotgun. We walked around my property, but the man had disappeared. Jack offered to stay with me for a while, and we sat on the porch, talking about what had happened. Do you think he was a local? Jack asked, his eyes scanning the darkness. I don't know, I replied, feeling a mixture of fear and frustration. But something about him felt wrong. Jack stayed until I felt a bit more at ease, but the sense of unease remained. That night, I barely slept, every sound amplified by my anxiety. The following morning, I decided to drive back to the farmhouse to see if anyone there knew the man. As I pulled up, I saw police cars in the driveway, their lights flashing. A crowd had gathered, and I quickly parked and walked over to see what was happening. The owner of the farmhouse, Mrs. Thompson, was talking to the police, her face pale and drawn. I caught snippets of the conversation, something about an assault and attempted robbery. My heart sank as I realized the man I had seen was involved. One of the officers noticed me and approached. Do you know anything about what happened here? He asked. I think I might, I replied, my voice shaky. I saw a man in the woods during the yard sale. He was watching us, and he followed me home. The officer's expression grew serious. Can you describe him? I gave a detailed description, and the officer nodded. We've been looking for someone matching that description. He's wanted for several crimes in the area. The realization that the man had been targeting me sent chills down my spine. The police assured me they would increase patrols in the area, but I still felt vulnerable. That night, I stayed with Jack and his family, unable to face the darkness alone. Over the next few days, the police presence in our neighborhood was noticeable. They eventually caught the man, hiding in an abandoned shed not far from the farmhouse. He was charged with multiple counts of assault and attempted robbery. The news brought a sense of relief, but the fear lingered. I found myself constantly looking over my shoulder, the memory of the man's intense gaze haunting me. The peacefulness of my rural home had been shattered, replaced by a sense of vulnerability. The experience left a lasting impact, making me wary of strangers and cautious about my surroundings. Having a yard sale seemed like the perfect way to declutter my house and make a bit of extra cash. The weather was perfect, clear skies, warm sunshine, and a gentle breeze. I had spent the previous night organizing items to sell, and by the early morning, everything was laid out neatly on tables in my front yard. The neighborhood was bustling with activity as other families set up their own sales, making it feel like a communal event. The first few hours went smoothly. Neighbors and strangers alike perused.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Use the tables, picking up old books, vintage toys, and household items. It was a pleasant experience, chatting with people and hearing stories about the items they were buying. I felt a sense of camaraderie with the other sellers and buyers, and the day was shaping up to be a success. Around noon, a man approached my sale. He was in his late 40s, wearing a faded brown coat and a baseball cap pulled low over his eyes. There was something off about him, something that set my nerves on edge. He moved slowly, almost methodically, scanning the tables with an intensity that made me uncomfortable. At first, I tried to shake off the feeling of unease. After all, people come to yard sales to find hidden treasures, and maybe he was just particularly focused. But as he lingered, his behavior became increasingly strange. He picked up a vintage doll and turned it over in his hands, inspecting it closely. Is this special to you? He asked, his voice low and gravelly. I shrugged, trying to keep my tone light. It belonged to my grandmother. She collected dolls. He nodded slowly, still examining the doll. It's beautiful. Has she passed away? I was taken aback by the personal question. Yes, a few years ago, I replied cautiously. He looked up at me, his eyes piercing from under the brim of his cap. I'm sorry for your loss, he said, but there was something in his tone that made me shiver. He set the doll down gently and continued to browse, his eyes never straying far from me. The man stayed at my yard sale for what felt like an eternity. He asked odd questions about various items, always steering the conversation back to me and my family. Do you live here alone? He asked at one point, making my stomach twist with unease. No, my husband is inside, I lied, hoping to deter any further personal questions. Finally, he seemed to lose interest and walked away without buying anything. I watched him go, a sense of relief washing over me. But as the day wore on, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. Every time I glanced down the street, I thought I saw a figure in the distance, but when I looked again, it was gone. As the sun began to set, the crowd thinned out, and I started packing up the unsold items. I was stacking books into a box when I felt a presence behind me. I turned quickly, my heart pounding, but there was no one there. I laughed nervously at myself, chalking it up to an overactive imagination. I was almost finished when I heard footsteps approaching. I looked up and saw the man from earlier, standing at the edge of my yard. He smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. I told you I'd be back for this, he said, holding up the vintage doll. I forced a smile. It's still here if you want it, I replied, trying to keep my voice steady. He walked closer, and I noticed for the first time how gaunt and pale he looked. How much? He asked. $5, I said, hoping he'd take it and leave quickly. He handed me the money and took the doll, cradling it in his arms. Thank you, he said, his eyes locking onto mine. You have a beautiful home. The man's comment sent a chill down my spine. I watched him walk away, disappearing into the growing darkness. I hurriedly finished packing up and went inside, locking all the doors and windows. The house felt strangely empty and silent, the usual comforting sounds now eerie in the evening quiet. As I was getting ready for bed, I heard a noise outside, a soft rustling, like someone walking through the leaves. My heart raced as I crept to the window and peeked through the curtains. There, standing in the dim light of the street lamp, was the man. He was holding the doll, staring at my house. I backed away from the window, my mind racing. I grabbed my phone and dialed 911, my hand shaking. There's a man outside my house, I whispered urgently to the operator. He's been following me since this morning. The operator assured me that a police car was on its way. I stayed on the line, my eyes glued to the window. The man didn't move, just stood there, watching. It felt like an eternity before the police arrived. The car's headlights illuminated the street, and the man vanished into the shadows. The officers searched the area but found no trace of him. They took my statement and promised to keep an eye on the neighborhood. I felt a small sense of relief, but the fear lingered. That night, I barely slept, every creak and groan of the house setting my nerves on edge. Over the next few days, I saw the man everywhere. He was always just out of reach, disappearing around corners or standing in the distance. I couldn't escape the feeling of being watched, of being hunted. One evening, I came home to find the vintage doll sitting on my front porch, a note attached to it. The note read, "I'll be watching." That was the final straw. I packed a bag and stayed with a friend for a few days, too terrified to stay at home. I reported the incident to the police, but without any concrete evidence, there was little they could do. When I finally returned home, the doll was gone. I changed all the locks and installed security cameras, but the sense of unease never left. I couldn't shake the feeling that he was still out there, watching, waiting. Months passed, and the sightings became less frequent, but the fear remained. I stopped hosting yard sales, unwilling to invite strangers into my life again. The experience left me wary and cautious. I had always loved the idea of finding unique items with a story behind them. That Saturday, the weather was perfect, and the neighborhood was buzzing with activity. Tables were set up along driveways, each filled with items seeking new homes. As usual, I was on the lookout for something special. It was at the third sale that I saw it, a beautiful antique mirror, propped against a table. Its frame was intricately carved with floral patterns, and though the glass was slightly tarnished, it still held a certain charm. The elderly woman running the sale noticed my interest. "That mirror belonged to my grandmother," she said with a warm smile. "It's been in our family for generations." I hesitated for a moment, feeling a strange pull toward the mirror. "How much?" I asked. $20, she replied. "It's worth much more, but I'd love for it to go to someone who appreciates its beauty." I handed her the money and carefully loaded the mirror into my car, excited to find the perfect spot for it in my home. When I got home, I placed the mirror in the hallway, right outside my bedroom. It immediately added a touch of elegance to the space. That night, as I was getting ready for bed, I caught a glimpse of something strange in the mirror, a flicker of movement behind me. I turned quickly, but there was nothing there. I shrugged it off, blaming my tired eyes, and went to sleep. Over the next few days, I noticed odd things happening around the house. Objects seemed to move on their own, doors creaked open, and there were strange cold spots in the hallway. Each time, I found myself looking at the mirror, wondering if it was somehow connected. One evening, I was sitting in the living room, watching TV, when I heard a soft whisper. It was faint, almost imperceptible, but it sent chills down my spine. I muted the TV and listened carefully. The whisper came again, clearer this time, and it seemed to be coming from the hallway. I stood up, my heart pounding, and walked slowly toward the sound. The hallway was empty, but the mirror reflected a shadowy figure standing behind me. I spun around, but there was no one there. My hands were shaking as I reached for my phone to call my best friend, Lisa. "Hey, Lisa," I said, trying to keep my voice steady. "Do you mind coming over? I think my mind is playing tricks on me." Lisa arrived about 20 minutes later, bringing a sense of relief with her. We sat in the living room, sipping tea and chatting, trying to laugh off my fear. I told her about the mirror and the strange occurrences, and she suggested we move it to the garage for the night. We carried the mirror downstairs and leaned it against the wall in the garage. "There," Lisa said with a reassuring smile. "Out of sight, out of mind." That night, I slept soundly for the first time in days. But the next morning, I woke up to a chilling sight. The mirror was back in the hallway, right outside my bedroom. I felt a wave of dread wash over me as I stared at it, my mind racing. I called Lisa, my voice trembling. "You won't believe this," I said. "The mirror is back." "What? Are you sure?" she replied, her tone reflecting her disbelief. "Yes, I'm sure. We need to get rid of it." Lisa arrived quickly, and we decided to take the mirror to a nearby thrift store. We loaded it into the car, and as we drove, I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. At the thrift store, we handed it over to the clerk, who seemed delighted to add such a beautiful piece to their collection. Relieved, we left the store, hoping that was the end of it. But that night, the whispers returned, louder and more insistent. I felt a presence in the house, cold and menacing. I checked the hallway, half expecting to see the mirror, but it wasn't there. Instead, I found a message written on the bathroom mirror. "You can't get rid of me." Panic set in, and I called Lisa again. "It's not over," I said, my voice barely a whisper. I don't know what to do. Lisa suggested we contact a local historian to learn more about the mirror. We found an old bookshop in town, run by a man named Mr. Wilson, who specialized in antiques and local history. When we showed him a picture of the mirror, his expression grew serious. This mirror has a dark history, he said. It once belonged to a woman accused of witchcraft in the 1800s. She was executed, and it said her spirit haunts the mirror, seeking vengeance on those who possess it. We listened in horror as Mr. Wilson explained that the spirit could only be appeased by returning the mirror to its original location, a small abandoned house on the outskirts of town. Determined to end the nightmare, Lisa and I drove to the thrift store to retrieve the mirror. The clerk hesitated, saying it had already been sold, but we insisted, explaining the urgency. We finally convinced him to give us the buyer's address. We drove to the address, a small house at the edge of town. The new owner was reluctant to part with the mirror, but after hearing our story, she agreed to let us take it. That night, we drove to the abandoned house, our nerves on edge. We placed the mirror in the center of the living room, hoping it would end the haunting. After that night, the strange occurrences stopped. My home felt peaceful again, and I no longer felt the oppressive presence. If you enjoyed this video, make sure to subscribe to our channel and hit the like button for more terrifying tales. Don't miss our latest video, Scary True Train Horror Stories, where we uncover eerie and unsettling experiences that happen on trains. These stories will make you think twice before your next train journey. See you in the next video.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.